It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everything.
Yes, if you're in retail, it is the most wonderful time of the year. So this month on Backbone Business, we'll be looking at retail. Consumer spending accounts for something like 65% of gross domestic product, and of course, gets a huge boost in the fourth quarter from October through December. In fact, it's a measure of how deep the scare was in 2008 that for the first time since the current series was started in 1992, Q4 accounted for less than 25% annual retail and food spending. That's the Q4, which is usually the heaviest spending quarter, accounted for less than its weight, less than a quarter of retail sales. It's usually around 27 to 28%, which doesn't sound like that much more than 25, but given the sheer amount of spending, it's actually a huge move. Online, which now accounts for about 5% of all retail spending, including food and automotive, is even more seasonal, with about 30% of sales coming between October and December. So as technology plays a bigger and bigger role in our spending, we'll be looking at the effect that new smartphone technology is having on how you shop, and how companies are marketing to you. To close out the hour, we'll examine some of the financial challenges that are peculiar to retail, large and small, and how they can end up affecting you, the consumer. Colorado is home to a number of famous and beloved brands: Celestial Seasonings in Boulder, Coors Beer in Golden, and Enstrom's Toffee. But for the holidays, that's the one you think of. Enstrom's has been making ice cream since 1929 and toffee since 1960, so it seemed to make sense to drive out to Grand Junction to talk to Doug and Jamie Simmons, current owners of the company. Jamie's grandfather, Chet, started the company a few months before the 1929 market crash. Doug met and married Jamie when they were both college students, and it wasn't until later that they got into the family business. As with any retail product, you need to know who your customers are.
Women from 35 to 55 that are proven catalog shoppers, maybe even proven food, mail order food buyers, with six figure incomes
and more highly educated.
We've looked at a lot of different. We've taken our mail order list apart and done demographic comparisons and what have you.
And who do they buy for?
Others.
Are they buying for themselves?
Primarily others. We don't. We have
I think
many,
they would
many.
Tell you they're buying for others, but I'll bet you that, I'll bet you they're buying for themselves.
No, but we get a lot of orders where the customer is not buying anything for themselves. It's all going to other people.
Now, one of the reasons that we pick Enstrom was that it exemplifies the extreme seasonality of small and medium-sized retail. Here are the Simmons is talking about that.
We started in mail order, and we just had the one small retail shop. And so throughout the majority of the year, it was all retail sales. And then when you got to the fourth quarter, and more particularly November, December, it would completely flip, and then the mail order side of the business would completely dwarf what we're doing on the retail side. Throughout the first three quarters of the year, we're basically about 60 to 65% retail and 30% mail order. Mm-hmm. And for the holiday in Q4, those numbers almost identically flip to about 65% mail order and 35% retail. Highly seasonal, up to 80% of our business is done in the fourth quarter.
Really? And most of that overall. In the last three, the 3 weeks in December.
We'll do as much as 55% of our sales company-wide between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
So consider that. Their normal product, the one they base their business on, their hero product as they call it, does 80% of its sales in Q4 and over half of it in 3 weeks. If you do the math, that means that about half of their sales for the whole company, for the whole year, are mail order during Q4, and just about 3/8 are mail order during those first 3 weeks of December. That's despite opening 5 seasonal locations in malls and high traffic areas. There's a reason they call it Black Friday, and it's because these few weeks are what put small retailers, and even some large ones, into the black for the year. Naturally, managing that kind of surge in demand can be a serious inventory problem.
Throw a dart at the wall and decide
it is,
how
but
much
you know,
more we think we might grow, and then we produce that much. We're really pretty good at it, though.
We are. Well, Jamie and I have been here.
A little bit left over sometimes.
We've been involved and been at the company full-time since 1979, so this is our 31st Christmas season. So there's a lot of history there on what you've done in years past, and so you get a pretty good feel for it. And you don't always hit it. Sometimes you run out way too early, which is not a good thing. Sometimes you run long, sometimes you hit it just right. But bottom line is, we're pretty good at it. And some of the things that if it looks like we're going to run low early, we can gear up and make some more product. And that's one of the advantages of being a manufacturer. If we didn't make enough, we can make more.
But while the Simmonses aren't dependent on suppliers for their product, they are dependent on them for their raw materials, chocolate, sugar, almonds, butter. And that's an inventory management problem of its own.
There's a lot of planning involved where you, for almonds, for instance, we contract for annually. Otherwise, you're going to be buying on the spot market, which could be quite a bit higher than what you do if you could buy in quantity and contract annually for every crop year.
If that sounds like a futures contract to you, well, it sounds that way to me, too. And while the Simmonses didn't bring it up, I'll point out that the new financial regulations will make it harder and more expensive for small businesses like theirs to make those sorts of deals. Now, I'll note that what follows doesn't in any way reflect the opinions of the Simmonses, but my friend Chip Hanlon has a fine piece over at his site, Green Faucet, about how government policy is forcing up the price of sugar by ordering the destruction of up to 40% of sugar beet acreage. I've linked to the article over at backbonebusiness.com. When the subject of sugar came up, Doug mentioned that it had gone up 50% in the last few months, something that by definition either crimps his margins or forces him to raise prices, and probably make it harder for Enstrom to introduce more product lines. The company has a lot of brand equity in its toffee line, and yet has continued to introduce new products without diluting that equity.
It's kind of funny because we have very talented candy makers. And they love to play.
It's interesting that you bring this up because over the last 6 or 8 months, we've actually formalized the way we not only test and taste and check quality on a lot of the items we make and do shelf life testing and what have you. When we're experimenting on a new piece, we may make 2 or 3 small batches, and then what we do is we bring it to a new internal meeting that we have 2 or 3 times a month, which is what we call our candy clinics, where we'll actually have 8 or 10 people sitting around the room doing blind tasting. We've kind of formalized that rather than Jamie and I just saying, yeah, that's good, let's make a few batches of that and put it in the store. Because you want to be conscientious of the ingredients that are going into your products, and then you also, once you've decided that, yeah, this is a great flavor, well, then really, before you can take that thing live, unless it's just in a limited retail store environment, you have to make sure that you've got some decent shelf life and what have you, and that there's not crazy things going on in there while it's sitting on the shelf. So we do a lot of microbiological testing. And
well, our chocolate producer, Guittard Chocolate out in Burlingame, California, they were after us for a long time.
He's insistent that we put some dark chocolate on the toffee because all we ever did was milk chocolate almond toffee. And so one of the best things we did was starting to put dark chocolate on the toffee, which gives you just the toffee is just buttery and sweet and what have you, but the dark chocolate gives you just a little bit stronger chocolate hit in the background, which is really nice. So the peppermint cookie bark is a delightful piece and ultimately was developed when Emery Dorsey from Stephanie's was with us for a short period of time, a great candy maker in his own right. But it still to this day, it's, we make maybe upwards of 10,000 pounds of peppermint cookie bark for the holiday season where we're 700,000 or 800,000 pounds of toffee. So you can see why we're still going to be up in the 90% in toffee sales compared to everything else. We have some machinery that's been working on for quite a while, and it produces our world famous almond toffee in a continuous cook. In the first year, I made some large slabs of machine made toffee, and the chocolate didn't stick on the product properly because it was so smooth on top. And the product was fantastic, but in a larger slab form, if you tried to break off a piece, the whole top layer of chocolate would pop off.
So or in the mail.
That was definitely a huge loser. It had a lot of people very upset. So we quickly went to made sure we went back to the handmade process for our world famous almond toffee that we've done. We replaced an awful lot of product that year, and I ate a lot of crow. But at the end of the day, you really do learn from your mistakes. And today the machine works beautifully, and you can't learn. You only learn from your mistakes. If everything went right all the time, what would you're not learning anything new.
You know what we learned from that? One thing we learned from that this isn't really our toffee company. It's our customer's toffee company.
Yeah,
it's the technology's fault. It's always the technology's fault. When we come back, we'll be looking at some technology that actually is changing the way we shop. Smartphones, here on Backbone Business.
Sprinkle it with you.
Sprinkle it with you.
Cover it with chocolate and a miracle or two. The Candyman.